Thank you.
Mary.
Said that it just takes time and going through that process, being sensitive to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you, Yvonne. What I saw in our area is that when I had a minority opinion and they let us state it, and in that my particular instance, it was had already been talked about like a year or two before, so they just addressed that and moved on. But they did ask everybody that voted no what their opinion was, and I found that really good. And then the other thing, I don't know if you would address, Judy, what I noticed is during the discussion time, people were limited to 2 minutes, and they also asked that nobody repeat what was just repeated. And my experience with that is that it eliminated the what I would call dominance, that, you know, I saw that, you know, like, well, somebody says this, so everybody agrees with that person, and then the person in the minority opinion, which sometimes is me, wouldn't feel comfortable voicing it. So that's it. I'll unmute or mute. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's one of the conference rules. If, you know, I always say every member, every GR is in training to be a DR, and every DR is in training to be a delegate. And if you go to the World Service Conference, you'll learn that you only get 2 minutes at the mic and you can only come once. And so... And if somebody says what you wanted to say, you have to go sit down. So it's a humbling experience sometimes, but
it is. And what I have learned from that is that here's an example. When I was a chair, the coordinators got 5 minutes, and the first year people would go, "Oh, we're so glad to be here! No, my gosh! No, my gosh! No, my gosh! Oh my God! I only have 1 minute. Can I have more?" And I'm like, "No. Oh my God! I haven't even done a report." I said, "Too bad. You get 5 minutes. You can do whatever you want." The third year, she did her report in 2 minutes, and she had 3 minutes left over. And she's like, "Oh my God, because to concentrate on what I want to say is so hard. And I thought I had it down." And I went to the World Service Conference, and you can ask questions. And a question starts with who, what, where, when, and how. That is what a question starts with. So I go to the mic. I clearly hear this stated. And I said, "Okay, I was thinking, Yvonne," I'm like, "Yeah. Do you have a question?" I'm like, "Well, yeah." "Okay, state the question." I said, "Well, I was thinking," and I got who, what, where, when, and how. And I'm like, oh, my comfort zone was to do an introduction. My comfort zone was to talk myself down, and I needed to get to the point, to the point. And that's what happens when there's timers and I can only have a limited time to say. I have to get to the point. I don't get to babble like a crazy woman because I have anxiety. That's my experience. But anyway, Julia.
Similar experience in that when I brought issues to my group at the group business meeting to discuss, everybody wanted to just rush into a motion. It's like, okay, let's. I mean, it was like the anxiety in the room over the idea that we were going to have a discussion, and I think that stems from having been affected by the disease of alcoholism. There was no discussion because discussion ended in anger, and not so much in my experience fist fights or abuse, physical abuse, but a lot of emotional abuse. And usually the discussion got cut short because the anxiety got so high. It was like, okay, I've got to go, bye. And, you know, I was sort of left there with my mouth open thinking we were going to have a discussion. And we couldn't have a discussion. So I'm sort of thinking that the Al-Anon way is to rush to a decision because discussions were just too difficult to have within the disease of alcoholism, in the relationships within the disease of alcoholism.
Yeah. Okay, every voice is important. Just to note here, some of the best thoughts and ideas come from your quietest people. Before I close out a discussion, I go around the room and the table and ask for those that have not contributed to share their thoughts. The good of the group comes first. The outcome is beneficial to most, and we call it the group conscience. See, I think we have to remember the good of the group comes first. If you've got one dissenter or two dissenters, that's not the group. they're the loudest, but that's not the group. If you have a contentious group, you might consider setting up some guidelines that we all will observe that everyone agrees to before you begin the discussion. Some of these might be, no idea will be discounted, treating each other with dignity and respect. Each person gets 2 minutes and shares one or two times, whatever the group decides. Conflict resolution kit that I mentioned before has some real good guidelines in there. You might even suggest or have written ballots for the voting rather than a show of hands. Some people are hesitant to vote if they show the hand. A lot of times I've been sitting in a meeting and they'll say, want to take a vote right away? And I'll say, I prefer to have a closed ballot because I know that a lot of people are intimidated. And so we have a closed ballot that seems to be to feel better for a lot of people. Okay, enough of that.
Are you ready to take a 5 minute break?
Yeah, it should be done here. We call
okay.
It just got a couple more. In summary, by being part of an informed group conscience, gathering the information we need, letting our loving God guide us, and remaining trusted servants, we are all part of the group and support its decisions. So, we'll have a conversation when we come back about these questions, okay? All right.
Okay.
So up here, and so we'll come back. What time? I get 12:38. What do we get? 10:38?
Yeah, 10:38. Let's do 10 minutes. That way we can get some refreshments, go to the bathroom, and...
Okay.
Thank you, Judy.
All right, sure.
And I'm going to open up the chat to everyone in the meeting. I am going to make this smaller. You guys can talk to each other privately, or you can publicly ask questions. If you want to say something, raise your hand. I will unmute you. This will be until 12:30, and at 1 o'clock we will go on with our Darlene, I see you. We will go on with our series of emotional sobriety. We're doing a whole series on that. We've done it in the past. We've done a couple of them, and it went over well. So it's always good to hear the other side, and it's very similar sounds to Al-Anon. And they will be presented by different people from AA. It's an AA workshop. It's an open workshop. You're welcome to participate. You're welcome to ask questions there too. We're going to open it up. I'm not sure. Everybody does their own way of doing a workshop. Our next one will be September 5th. It will be Tina H. from St. Louis, Missouri. The R in reading from literature. She's going to talk about literature and how she works with it and how it helps her and what she does with it. I have no idea. I haven't heard Tina on this before, so it'll be interesting. We'll have Emotional Sobriety by Bill H. from St. Louis, which is Tina's husband in that one. And you may have heard them before, and they did a workshop on forgiveness. Yeah, Sandra from Copenhagen, I see you. And so they're back. We're doing Grieving and Loss. Stephanie B. from Texas. We'll talk about how to deal with suicide. That is in her history, and she had to do a lot of work around grieving and loss. My volume is varying depending on where my mic is. Yeah, I figured. All right, I'll put it right by my mouth. My air conditioner is on, so I'd rather have my set on so I can hear better. September 26th, we will start with Emotional Sobriety, Luther W. from Palm Desert. For any of those who are familiar with AA, that is Earl H., his sponsor. He will be talking about Emotional Sobriety. Luther, I spend the whole weekend with Luther talking about that topic. And then we'll have Mary Pearl, who will do Traditions in Relationships, part one. And she's doing part one and two because Mary cannot do hours of workshops anymore. So we broke it up. And 2 weeks consecutive, part one, part two. Polly P. from Jacksonville, Florida, was one of the first AAers who did workshops on emotional sobriety. So she will be presenting her workshop on that. And then hopefully Ellen C. will be doing Traditions in Relationships on November 7th. And November 14th, we will be doing Resolving Conflict with Sally Ann from New Zealand. So something to look forward to. We also have Debbie D. from Concord. AA has on September 5th a conference. You can find it on our website. Well, our website, Amat Audio, MSB Recording. It's a unity and service conference. It only talks about the traditions and concepts. It's AA. But still, for those who are interested or who are AA members, something to look out to or look into. That's what we got going on there. And then let me talk to Darlene for a minute. Darlene.
Yes, thank you for taking my, for letting me ask this question. It's probably a technicality that I haven't found in the manual yet. So if we have a business meeting and someone, three people nominated themselves to be the meeting coordinators, and we voted on them, and the group accepted them to be the next rotation of service, that they would be doing the service. And after the meeting closed, someone else a few days later contacted the one of the people in the meeting, and they said, "No, I want to be in that meeting." Is that possible? Do we have to take another vote? Is this person allowed to just come in and say, "This is how we're going to do it"?
Hold on, let me get this straight. So you guys had three people standing for a position. You chose them as a committee to perform that position. Right?
Yes, yes.
And then somebody came a week or 2 weeks later and said, "What? I wanted to be in that meeting, but I wasn't?"
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, then you weren't. I'm sorry, yeah. On average, don't quote me on this, an informed group conscience means that the information needs to go out. I can make a group conscience happen right now, but that excludes those who are at a birthday party, who have the flu, who have something going on. So on average, we announce things three times and say, "Hey, you know, September 20th, we're going to take a group conscience for this or for that." So that everybody knows that that day is when we're going to have a group conscience. And if I can't be there, then I can't be there. Al-Anon will go on and the group conscience will be taken. And if I wasn't there, then, oh, wow, I missed out. Maybe I need to pay more attention and get my daytime straight. I don't know. But no, I have not known for people to take a new group conscience because somebody said, "I wasn't there and I would like to have a voice in that." You may voice your opinion, but when there's a new rotation and you would like to do the job, come back and stand or make sure you're there for the vote. Yeah, good question, Darlene.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What I wanted to talk about for a minute is that we have a Amat Audio is having an event in September. I should be looking at my notes, but I'm not. And it is a big book study, and they have a raffle for a first edition big book. And the raffle is online on their website, and I will give you a link. And if you want to buy a raffle, you can. You don't have to be there in person. And it's your classic raffle, six for $5 and, I don't know, 15 for $10. You know how that works. You can sign up and buy the tickets and win a first edition big book, which is a value of about $700 currently. I don't know if you guys want to do that, but that is something that Amat Audio, who is working for free during COVID, is making some of the expenses back for, you know, hosting and taping and paying for all the platforms that they're providing. And I would like to support that as we work closely together with them. And I would like to win a first edition big book, although I'm not Al-Anon. So I will put that in the chat later when we continue. And maybe that is something that you want to participate in. It is, and I will make the information on that event available. It is a live face-to-face event. And I've always was like, I'm going to fly out for that. I am so dying for something face-to-face. But I'm doing Al-Anon Without Borders and I cannot do that and be present for the workshop at the same time. There's a 2-day workshop and it's happening in Illinois. So that's something that I just wanted to put out there. Wow, I'm looking for faces. Where did all my faces go? Y'all have your cameras out? Is that it? Gee, like I'm talking to the wall again, as Mary Pearl likes to say, which just cracked me up. But happy you're all here, nevertheless. What I like about talking about a process like this is that it touches my recovery in so many different ways, although it is business. I'm forced into a mold of sharing 2 minutes only. I'm forced into a mold of to participate in groups and have an opinion. And there is no must, but when I sign up for something, that means I want to participate. And that means I get to say things that may not be smart. And I get to, I get to participate in groups, and I may have a bright idea and I may not, but I get to experience that what I have to say is valuable, whether it is smart or not smart. And that's what I like about the process of business. There is so many things that I have to participate in because I volunteer that I get to experience that I don't think is recovery because it sounds like business. But business is just a dress rehearsal for recovery and different behavior in my life. So back to Judy.
Okay. Thanks for the break.
You're welcome.
So sharing our experience, strength, and hope. I have some questions up here. I've got my pencil and paper. And so if you have questions and I don't have the answer, or Yvonne doesn't have, somebody doesn't have the answer, we'll see if we can get them for you. And I'd just like to hear what you have to say and whatever, okay? Thanks. I'd like to hear what you, if you learned something today, I'd like to hear what you learned. If you still have a question, that too. Can you envision using KBDM in your group? And can you envision using KBDM to help you with your personal decisions? If so, come back for the next session. It'll be a lot shorter, but.
Chat is open.
Yeah.
No hands. Ah, Joy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, G, for everything. This has been a great workshop for me because I have studied this process many times from the PowerPoint presentation that was put out by the World Service at the World Service Conference a long time ago. And I brought it to my group a long time ago. And the struggles is that for me is that it's really difficult to get the trust, that trust. And I learned from the workshops that of Al-Anon Without Borders prior from listening to speakers that if you aren't following the first three concepts, if the first three concepts aren't present, it's impossible. So just to say, you know, you don't have to get frustrated over it. You have to let go and let God sometimes. But at the same time, we have to be responsible for the knowledge we have and to bring it forward to those. And so that's exactly what you did today. And I just love what you did. And I love hearing that there's not five, but there's four questions to ask because it does make it simpler. So you guys have been doing great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joy. MMW.
Hey, hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Judy. Thanks, Yvonne, and everyone who participated in putting this together. The information was really valuable and wonderful. I've put in a chat a couple times. It seemed like there was a slide that popped up and popped off, and maybe it was just on my computer, but it was something about behavior in the meeting, and I'd love to see that slide again. And then the second question is, Judy, you had said you would go over something about a conflict package, and I don't think I picked up on that, so thank you.
There's a conflict resolution package that's part of our literature. It should be in the that catalog, and it's got housekeeping rules in it for setting up a meeting. I think it does still. I know it did. It's got a fold-up card that has traditions, our traditions as they apply to conflict. And it's got a couple other tools in there. I've forgotten off the top of my head, some flip cards. And it really helps dealing with conflicts in your meetings, especially. If you haven't seen one, you might want to buy one. There you go.
You can look at me, yeah. This is the fold-out. This is the talk to each other. And it also comes with the cards, resume conflict resolution. And what those cards are, it talks about the 12 traditions, unity, the spiritual principle of step of tradition one, our common goal, tradition one. And then in the back, it has a summary. And you can use those in meetings or in groups when there is conflict to work out so that we can be heard and seen and not just fight with each other, because I want to have the last say so. And in the book, it talks about resolving conflict in the group, resolving conflict in the district, resolving conflict at an AIS, resolving conflict in your area, and resolving conflict through an informed group conscience. And then there are helpful tips of what you could be focusing on. And one of them is presume goodwill instead of you're just a and you want to and I don't care and it's me against you. And so it comes as a kit. You can order it at the WSO website, where there's literature. I would suggest you take a look at it. I know Barbara, if you want, that you wanted to share it, but I can't screen share it. I can just hold it up, but I'm not allowed to pull it up in a screen share. I mean, there's a lot of rules nowadays what you can and cannot do. And I know that I am not into creating more controversy than apparently there already is. So that's why I just held it up.
What's the order on that, Yvonne?
I'm sorry?
What's the order number on it?
The order number is S73.
Thank you.
And S72 for the tradition cards. And I don't know what the packet number is. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, MMW.
Question.
Patty.
Good morning, family of choice. I just love what I've heard so far. And yes, I will share what I have learned today. Our district up in Redding, which is sort of closer to the Oregon border than not, we have to figure out what we're going to do about posting minutes and our newsletter on our website that we have. And so the question is, do we hide the names? How do they want to go forward? So I like to get things done. I'm a let's do it now, I don't want to wait kind of a person, but I can see where using the knowledge-based decision making slows me down, and maybe I can help with that process to get where they need to be with a group decision about what should be posted. Should we have no names? Should we have initials? Because they want some of that information posted on the website, but the district needs to make a decision about how much anonymity they want to protect. So I can see having using this process to have a thought force, or I used to call them breakout session, but have a separate group that asks the questions. What do you want to do? What are your thoughts? What are you worried about? You said them much better. So I absolutely learned a lot and appreciate everyone's time and energy. So I'm going to be using this in our district. So thank you. I'm going to mute now.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. There's a question that somebody says. Okay. Somebody says, how about the slide on behavior at the meeting? Can that be put back up? What I learned today, the four questions and how they applied a question. I have some members say the Robert rules is still how we handle decisions. Has anyone else had that experience? And Patrick just put in the conflict resolution kit and how much it is. Thank you, Patrick. Judy, you want to take that question? Is that how we do business, Robert rules of order?
There are some people that do, but most assemblies, it's up to the assembly, it's up to the body. Mm-hmm. This is just an option.
It is up to group autonomy, and sometimes people who do not understand knowledge-based decision-making will revert back to old habits and comfort zones. Yeah.
Old behavior.
Yeah, old behavior. And that's just what it is. So through this, educate yourself. You can educate your friends. We can educate each other, and we can come to an easier process that that is different. George.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that last question really struck a nerve. I'm a GR again for a group in Massachusetts. And yes, we definitely have members who are very rigid and fixed in their thinking. And because we've always used Robert's rules to run business meeting, that's the way it's always going to be, full stop. Mm-hmm. So trying to introduce these wonderful ideas, I think KBDM has a lot of potential. Trying to bring it down to group level has been really challenging the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is take courage, I guess, from the people that are here and the fact that we're talking about it. But I would say, in my experience, there's a lot of resistance. As Judy said, any kind of change is difficult. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, George.
You know, it's because we don't know what it really is, and so we don't want to do something we don't know how to be in control of.
And that is the key word, Judy.
Right.
When what disturbed me in the beginning about KBDM is that I experienced a loss of control. You mean I have to be fully transparent? I mean, I'm going to give you everything I know. In my family, today's information was tomorrow's ammunition. So I like to run something really fast by you and then get it done, and then I get what I want. And to have that transparency, that to give people the power to have all the information and use their own reasoning to figure this out and hopefully come to a decision I'm going to like, which is not even relevant, but I had to overcome my own control issues to be transparent and to be inclusive and let people vent for 2 minutes if that's what they would like to do, so that we all can be heard and seen and move forward. And then I get to see God in this process, and I don't get to play God. And a lot of this was about fear and not knowing how to do this and not knowing how to maneuver the members. And I don't know if you guys have noticed that although we pose questions, we veer from the topic so easily and we go into tangents. This is my disease. And to keep people on a topic and to keep them focused on that one thing, although we want to go all sorts of things and we want to be the smartest and the brightest and the most intelligent and I want to be heard and seen, those are the things that I learned through doing a KBDM process, is to be a worker among workers, to be equal in the room, and that it wasn't about my thing or my show or my need. It was about all of our needs, and to have that calm discussion with transparency and honesty and openness, that by the time we get to make a decision, we're all calm and going, yeah, we've talked about it enough. We can just do this now and roll right through that and not get distracted by wordsmithing, which really is one of the most common things that, well, but it says here, but it says there, but there is nothing perfect. And I love what they asked at conference. Judy, what do we say at conference when we want to start wordsmithing and they don't want to do the wordsmithing in the moment?
Can you I have to think about it a minute.
Yeah. Is it clear?
Is it clear? Yeah.
Is it clear? Factual? Yeah.
Is it factual? Jamie, do you remember?
I know Jamie can just roll it off of her. Jamie, can you stick your hand up? Are you there? She's not there. But anyway, is it clear? Is it concise? Does it convey what we want? And then we wordsmith it later and we'll come back to this and run it by you. We don't have to sit here 45 minutes having a debate that doesn't go nowhere. And Andrea.
Hi, actually my name is Linda. Andrea is my roommate. We're both listening to this. One of the things I did, which I didn't realize was knowledge-based, was that our group is, like I heard previously, hard stop. They wouldn't do Venmo or PayPal. And I've listened to a couple of workshops like this about it. And instead of making a motion, I said, I'm not making a motion because they rushed to judgment and vote immediately with no information. I explained what I heard in a workshop. I said, I just want to have a discussion about it. I just want to bring it back up to discuss. And I told what I had learned. And lo and behold, they what you guys term as a task force, they put together a steering committee to do some research on that. And now it's not a hard stop. So maybe the way to address it in groups going forward, especially in AA, is to just have a discussion and say you're not bringing it to vote. And that way you avoid the whole motion and everybody gets to have a thing and it's not rushed to judgment and it can spill over to the next month. That's the way I found it to be effective in our group.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Tracy.
Hi, I'm wondering how to, I can't wait to apply this at our district. I'm a recording coordinator in our district. And I don't feel that we made a major decision at the district level, and I want to, is it possible to revisit a decision that we made? How do we have suggestions about how to, I'm sorry, I'm not very clear, how to bring up a decision or revisit a decision that was made that seemed to be rushed?
I think I heard you. What you're asking is how to revisit something that you think you need to go back and talk about again? I think
yes.
Yes,
and it was a very big, big, big decision. And wondering how we didn't apply the knowledge-based decision-making process to it, and it was very rushed, and a number of us felt very uncomfortable about it, and it's very difficult for me to speak up personally, and those of us in the meeting and in the district, and we want to, so I want to move forward and apply the knowledge-based decision-making process. I'm hoping that we can do it in a healing manner and maybe revisit the decision before and apply this process and start a discussion. So if anybody has any ideas, thank you.
I think what you might want to think about is writing out a minority appeal, concept 5, and presenting it to the district and ask if you could have the discussion open again.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Also, if you do some research and you discover new information about the same topic, you may bring that to district and ask for it to be reopened with the new information that you have to contribute to this topic, and do some more information searching through a thought force. And maybe then people can decide if they want to revisit the topic for a vote. But thank you for asking. Jamie. And by the way, I love what Patrick put in the chat. He said the underlying assumption of Robert's rules is that there are an adversarial relationship that needs rules to regulate. KBDM's underlying assumption is presumed goodwill and that we all want the best for Al-Anon as a whole. I love that, Patrick. Thank you for that. Jamie.
Okay, I was here, but I guess you didn't see me. So I have two comments. Those three questions, and these questions were used when I was a delegate at the World Service Conference. I would see them at the end of a presentation. And I know here in Southern California, we do that from time to time. We post that's the last chart in a presentation. And here are the three questions. Is it accurate? Does it have clarity? Can you live with it?
Yeah, can you live with it? Thank you.
That really you know, that really solidifies something after you've given a presentation. And so that's been used from time to time here in our area for presentations. And the other comment I wanted to make was on the minority opinion. You know, you'll at least at the area level, there'll be a GR that does not like the decision and feels they have a minority opinion. And one of the things that we do in Southern California is that minority opinion has to, the GR has to bring that up at the district. The district has to agree that it's a minority opinion. From the district, it goes to the board. And from the board, it'll go to the AWSC. And if the AWSC agrees, it goes to the assembly. Now, the one thing that we look for in a minority opinion is new information. It can't be, I just don't like the decision. It's got to be, what new information are you bringing to the table in the minority report that we didn't know about prior to making the decision? So that was, that's our experience here. That's what I've seen done here for the past many years in Southern California. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Judy, I think. Judy, I can't hear you. Are you still muted?
Me?
Yeah. Yep, I hear you now. Back to you. Oh, Tracy has a question.
Thank you very much. Part of my quandary is that a major part of the decision that was made was that we felt that there was not information. We don't necessarily have new information, but looking back at the decision, which has been almost a year ago, we're piecing together from the minutes and other things that we didn't feel that we had enough information and that the information was available for everybody to have made an informed group conscience decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.